Good morning. Welcome to the Forgotten Word. This is Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries. And welcome back today. Today we want to finish up from where we left off yesterday, talking about, what's your reward, you know, and we had left off talking about why would Jesus, who died for our sins and soul, jeopardize that very soul? You know, he died to save against his own counsel. So let's see what Jesus said in Mark 10:23-25. It says, "And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." That's Mark 10:23-25. Now, you know, Jesus and his apostles warned about covetingness, and greed, and laying up treasures in this life, which will blow away with the wind upon our death and cause our eternal fall. You know, they warned about that extensively. Let's see, in Psalm 49, and also 1 Timothy 6 and Ephesians 5:7-9. You could find out where that's where they had warned a lot. Now, excuse me. Does not God see it when we overlook the needs of others? I would think so. And also, especially while we have the money to help, we should be helping people if we, if we can. Says, riches are, in Jesus' perspective, an obstacle both to salvation and to discipleship. Matthew 19:24 and 13:22 shows you that. They give a false sense of security, they deceive, and they demand the total loyalty of one's heart. The rich often show that they have no need of God. Have you ever noticed that? They got money, they got everything they think they need. And they get the big head, and they don't need God. All they need is more money. But searching for riches, their spiritual life's all choked up. They're led to temptation and desires that they normally would pass up. But because they're rich, they tend to fall into those traps, And one thing leads to the other. The next thing, is that they've abandoned their faith, and that happens a lot. All too often, those who are rich take advantage of the poor. You ever notice that? It happens all the time too, especially, when following these false leaders. All they want is your money. No Christian ought to desire to get rich, and I really believe that. 1 Timothy 6:9-11 explains that. So, we really should be careful what we want. If we amass material possessions, it's actually an indication that life's no longer seen from the vantage point of eternity, and that's what we got to be careful of. We need to look at things from the eternal perspective. It's really important to do that. A selfish, greedy person no longer has his goal and fulfillment in God, but rather in himself and his possessions. Now, remember the tragedy of Lot's wife, for example, was, her place in all of her affections on an earthly city rather than on the heavenly one. And, in other words, striving after wealth has in the seed of total alienation from God, actually. And that's very careful. We have to be very careful that we don't fall into that that trap. Now, true riches for a Christian consist in faith and love that express themselves in self-denial and following the Lord. That's just that simple. Those who have true riches have gained freedom from the things of the world through confidence in God. you know, that they have confidence that God is the Father, and that He will not, you know, forsake them in any way. And that's where their confidence actually lies. You know, for those who give of themselves, which integrally, you know, includes a temporary earthly treasure, you know, they'll actually forever reap benefits in eternal glory. If you give, you know, if you give of yourself, you know, I guess that would be the question we'd all have to watch out for, is that Jesus promised this to us, you know, and I guess He would be asking, you know, will you follow Him or, you know, follow yourself? So, you know, Hebrews 6:10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." That's Hebrews 6:10. So, you know, we walk by faith, not by sight. Preachers, you know, we talk about how these preachers, you know, always asking for money, always asking for money. You know, preachers should never ask for money for themselves. You know, absolutely not. Yet those they preach to should, you know, honestly have a generous heart to support a man called by God to teach, lead, or pastor, you know, an assembled group of people. For in doing so, they are giving as unto God, as the true shepherd has ascended to the hill with a pure heart and clean hands and is able to stand in His presence. For God has given, you know, him the authority in the call. As you honor with the richness of your heart toward the man of God, so shall you be, you know, rich in like manner of ways. For the Lord said, "He who delights in the word shall be blessed in all ways." You know, so it's pretty simple. Two great commandments hang on all the laws of the prophets, you know. So, you know, I guess what it boils down to in a nutshell with all this is that, you know, we have to try to understand, you know, what, what do we want out of life, and what do we want out of eternal life, and then sit down and start trying to evaluate your life, you know. You really have to understand that heaven, like we said, awaits those who believe in the Lord. It's that simple. The Lord says, "Lay up for yourself treasures upon." Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupts, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then he went on to say, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Matthew 6:19-21, and then 33-34. You know, so Jesus, like what I said earlier, you know, He's teaching His people not to worry about tomorrow. But it seems like we've lost track of what tomorrow means. We think tomorrow is just the earthly time frame. And so we tend to look at things from that perspective. We should be looking at things from the eternal perspective. And then, you know, then we would honestly look at things a little bit different. You know, we would have a different attitude about the decisions we make, and probably be making a lot different decisions than what we do in life. You know, so you have to ask yourself, you know, what I want my reward to be? What do I want out of this life and the next life? Because there is a next life, as I've said. There is eternity looking at everyone. And so what do you want your reward to be? You know, I think, like the Bible says, what good is it to gain the whole world but to lose your soul? Well, that's what we see a lot happening, those types of attitudes happening today. People fall for so much. They're so gullible anymore. It's really sad. why people change like they do. But, you know, when you listen to some of these guys preach these crusades and these big TV ministers talking about you can have this and you can have that and you should have this and you should have that and how to grow your money, you know, in under the name of God and just all these things, you know, it eats on our you know, and picks at our personal egos, and we tend to fall for a lot of this kind of thing. But you just have to remember that eternity is how you should weigh all your life's decisions, knowing that Christ has a plan for your life. You should look at everything from that perspective. You know, is it pleasing to God? Is it pleasing to man? Which one is it? What reward do we want? Do we really honestly think that we can be happy here on earth in every way, and that we should all be financially rich and all be overcomers of everything, that we're not going to suffer and be persecuted for following the Lord? And I have to believe that if you truly are a follower of the Lord, then you're going to stand out. People are going to persecute you for it, because, you know, most people don't want the Lord. They want their own personal agendas to guide and direct themselves with. And so, you know, it becomes sometimes a pretty tough job. But the reward that we get for loving the Lord, following the Lord, and doing His work far outweighs anything that I could get on this earth or ask for on this earth. There's just no doubt in my mind. I hope and pray each one of you out there feel the same way. If not, I think it's time to reevaluate yourself. Reevaluate what you do, what you want, what you're working towards, what your goals are, and see kind of where you're at. Do you have eternity in mind when you do things, or do you have just your daily, you know, wants and wishes, and have you fallen into the trap of loving money more than you love the Lord? And sometimes that's easy to do when you get greedy. We're a greedy people, and we start thinking that money is the answer, and the more of it we got, the more of it we want, and it's a vicious circle, folks. It really, honestly, is a very, very vicious circle that we start traveling around in. So I hope this made sense to you in my stumbling way. But heaven has more for us in store than anything we could ever imagine. I would just ask you to read your Bibles, study the Word, the true Word of God. Don't fall for the snares of the devil. Remember that the Lord is in control, and he reigns on high. So God bless you. Hang in there. Keep the faith. Fight the good fight. Until we talk again, you know, God bless each and every one of you. I would ask that if you if our programs are helping you and you enjoy listening to him and to them, and you're getting some good from them and learning some things that maybe you hadn't known before, that you would consider helping to support the ministry. We could certainly use your help. We know times are tough for everybody, and we don't ask you to take from your local church at all. But if you do feel like you know that our ministry has helped you, please visit forgottenword.org and give us a hand. God bless each and every one of you.